All right, up next, we have the 2022 volunteer season summary. Rachel Comas, our volunteer coordinator, is with us. Welcome, Rachel.
Good morning, commissioners. Secretary Rowling, congrats, Madam Chair. Sitting in a little bit different seat for me today at commission meeting, so. Nick, do you have my PowerPoint?
Yep.
We'll go forward and we'll forego introductions. I think we all know one another. Thank you for allowing me to come talk about our volunteer program today. For us, we're so lucky. We have hundreds of people that donate their time and talents to volunteer within our state park system. These passionate folks allow us to keep our parks operating in pristine condition for our visitors. Next slide. Okay. We have a variety of positions. The most common are listed here, but we also have like specialized park positions. For example, at Adams, we have garden and trail maintenance. Custer State Park has herdsmen, corral maintenance. They even have sanitation truck drivers. We also have commuter positions, and a lot of those at places like Good Earth. We also get group volunteers like local Boy Scout, Girl Scout troops, and churches that assist with spring cleanup, trail restoration, special events, and all kinds of different programs, Christmas events, things like that that help us do those special activities. So these positions we have listed here, most of those are what we would consider on-site volunteers. So they have a campsite at the park. And then we also have our commuter volunteers. And those are those passionate locals. They live near the parks. They've camped at those parks. And they volunteer regularly. I know they do a lot at Adams Homestead. They even have people that come during the winter and help make sure all the animals get fed and cared for, you know. When we can't have Jody there. And they also help with those special events like Christmas activities or like those first day hikes, things like that. Okay, here are our total number of volunteers for the last 5 years. You'll see a decrease from 2018. That's actually due to a lot of our commuter volunteers being included in our count numbers, or like, let's say, the Boy Scout, Girl Scout troops, instead of putting them in as a group, they were listed individually back then. So it kind of skews those a little bit. But we usually have around 130 commuter volunteers, and 230 to 250 on-site. Some of our on-site volunteers will request like a monthly position, and others will be in the park all season long. So, for 2022, we get to our hours contributed here. We had approximately 46 FTE with a fiscal impact of $1,242,332. So that was just shy of 10,000 volunteer hours. So they work real hard for us to help keep those parks in shape. This is our flow chart of how the process works. One of the things I've tried to really focus on is how we can streamline this even more. So we're going to have some updates to this. Instead of having another form and another form, a lot of that, if I can just communicate back and forth with our park managers and keep things moving. So the one thing we have to have is all of our volunteers are required to have a background check. This is nationwide and statewide every 5 years for obvious reasons. We also previously required every volunteer to complete a new work agreement annually. So something to streamline that. Their volunteer agreement was, or their background check was still good. We were doing a reappointment form, and then we were doing a work agreement. So we forego the reappointment form. I just have the park managers. I work back and forth with them. And then we've created a new agreement that's for every 5 years. So those will last until their background check needs renewed. So that helps us keep that process rolling, and we don't burden our volunteers with additional paperwork. So, One of the next things I want to focus on is we're working on some marketing, and I haven't had a lot of time to get into that. We always advertise annually with Good Sam, Work Camper. AARP does a great job of promoting their email blasts to folks in South Dakota and in the Midwest. We do email blasts, and we're looking at local park Facebook pages. And here's my plug at the commission meeting. We're still looking for some hosts at Hartford Beach, Lake Herman, Newton Hills, Union Grove, Peace Creek, and West Whitlock. So if anybody's interested, shoot me an email, call us, apply online. We'd love to have you. So, yes. The next thing I'm going to be focusing on with recruitment and new ways to market that, we're looking at redoing some of our recognition items. So we give our volunteers recognition items for the hours of service, so there's different levels here. These recognition items are important because it lets the volunteers know that we appreciate their time in our parks. So yeah, once we get all of our 2023 volunteers signed up, I'll be scheduling some time with staff to kind of review these levels and get some new things for them, you know, things that you try to be nice. These are people that are in campers all year long, you know, something that may be useful for them and something that shows them we value their time. Speaking of recognizing our volunteers, we have our Volunteer of the Year. That was Marvin Spath at West Bend Camp. He was our West Bend campground host, one of them. He stayed at West Bend all season long. The park was a little short-handed this year, so Marvin stepped up and filled in on many levels. Many days, they said he worked from sunup to sundown and answered needs after hours, taking care of pedestal power problems. And on more than one occasion, he mowed the entire park facility all by himself. So Ryan Rayner made the comment that sometimes they'd notice stuff, and before they even had a chance to talk to Marvin, Marvin was already taking care of it. So Marvin did a phenomenal job. Marvin's from Central Nebraska. He started volunteering for us back in 2019 as a campground host because he camped there and liked it so much. He came back and volunteered there. And he ended up, he was a public school maintenance worker. So that's been great. He knows how to fix all those things for us that maybe don't always have a manual to them. So Marvin's going to be coming back for us again, and he's actually going to go to Angostura Recreation for us this year. That's close to where he was originally from as a child and he camped there. So he wants to take the opportunity to go to Angostura this year. And next, we don't normally speak to our seasonals when we talk about our volunteers. But Dawn's special. Dawn has worked seasonally in Custer State Park for 19 years as a Center Lake campground host. And he also helps at Mount Coolidge Communication Center. And when they're short-staffed, he'll go to the park and help answer phones and greet guests. But in addition to being a wonderful seasonal, Dawn spends his winter months volunteering for us as well. So he helps with sports shows, he does maintenance tasks. So yeah, Dawn over the years has provided just shy of 10,000 volunteer hours in addition to being a seasonal. That's all I have for you today, unless you have any questions.
Any questions for Rachel? Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartley. Thank you, Rachel. Good report. How many of the volunteers actually come from out of state? Do you track that? Because I know some people who go south and work in parks in the southern part of the country.
Through the chair. Commissioner Bartling, I need to run some reports on that. I can tell you we have a variety of volunteers. So like some of our smaller campgrounds, like Lake Louise, we had a hard time recruiting last year, but we found a local gal and she's gonna, you know, because they tend to know those hidden gem parks. But some of our larger parks, like Custer State Park, they do get a lot of national volunteers. Some of those folks will be coming through and they'll be on site for like a month and then they'll travel to another park. Or some will be here this year, every year they'll come back. And I haven't had a chance to make it out to a lot of the parks, but when I visited with those last year, a lot of them, they may go to other parks, but they continue to cycle South Dakota in because they like our parks so well. And we also have some that are non-residents, and they'll use this opportunity. They'll come be a campground host at a campground near where their kids and their grandkids are. And so they'll put in their volunteer hours, and then they'll still be close to family to be able to spend those summers with them. But thank you.
Rachel, any idea or a percentage of how many of the volunteers return each year?
Madam Chair, sorry, I should have pulled that. I will check on that. But we do have a large percentage of return volunteers annually. And that was one of the things I looked at, and I thought, well, we can streamline this paperwork because we have these folks coming back over and over, or they're continual volunteers where they're like Dawn or at Good Earth where they work all year round, year after year. So, but yeah, I would say a large, like two-thirds, like we have a lot of return volunteers.
Okay, good. Any other questions for Rachel? Very good report. It looks like you get to stay in the hot seat.
I am.
Check out South Dakota Parks Program up next.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So we have a new program we're kicking off with the South Dakota State Library called Check Out South Dakota State Parks. Through this program, library patrons will be able to check out a three-day park entrance license free of charge to enjoy our parks. There's currently 200 passes that have been distributed to 76 participating public libraries in South Dakota. Patrons, they simply just have to have a library card. So once you've signed up for a library card, you can check out a pass just like you would check out a library book. They can go visit their local park up to those 3 days. When they check that out, they're going to get the pass. They'll get a park handbook, so it tells about all of our different parks and the amenities that each park has. And then there's also some survey material, and we can include other promotional items, whether it be for the parks or the libraries there. And then upon return, we ask them to complete those surveys. There's also a QR code on the back of the pass. But yeah, the pass is valid for entry of one passenger vehicle to any South Dakota State Park, recreation area, or nature area. And they can check that license out for 3 days once a month, or 3 days per once a month, so they can't renew it or anything like that. But yeah, this joint service is just rolling out now. The press release should go out today, if not early next week. And it'll allow us to cross-promote other events. The first one we've already done are some citizen science kits, so those are really cool. They have them in the parks, and the kids can check them out. And you can do like soil samples, all that kind of stuff. And then there's a link where you go through and you send your answers to your data in online, and you get a report back. So those are really cool. And then we can do like story walks, free lending libraries, all kinds of different things. And then this program is funded this year by Library Services and Technology Act, American Rescue Plan, so ARPA funds, and State Library through their Institute of Museum and Library Services. So. And basically, those expenses were just to pay for the passes. So,
yeah. Any questions? One quick, how many passes does each library get?
So they feed out those 200 passes between the 76 libraries. So most of them get two of them. The larger libraries have three.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. Have a nice day.